This is the Indie Dads Podcast.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Malcolm.
And we're a couple of dads sharing our journey about starting out and bootstrapping our indie businesses while still prioritizing our young families. We believe that you can hustle and work hard to bootstrap a successful SaaS, freelance, or indie business while still being family first. Join us as we share our learnings from building our businesses from scratch.
Good evening, I guess, over there.
Yes, it is very much evening this side. Good day to you, Brian.
Yeah.
How are you? How's it going?
I'm good. Boy, how do we start this episode? Feels like ages since the last one.
It does feel like a lot has happened.
A lot has happened.
But yes, we've been trimming through the mill. Well, I can kick us off quickly since it was, I think, I mentioned last time out what I was going to be doing. So I'm happy to report that that last vestige of Excel is now no more. I did add that feature to remote time. So that's awesome. iOS is always such a frustration when releasing to the App Store. Google, I went from, okay, here's the APK file to it's live in the store within a couple hours, which I know is still terrible compared to web standards. I realize that. But man, iOS is like you're submitting the build and the build's got to be reviewed. And then you submit the actual release after you've tested it in test flight and that's got to be reviewed. And it just takes forever. It is what it is, I guess.
It used to take a week to get that review approved. So maybe a little bit better silver lining, but still pretty bad. I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is in the App Store now, except for iOS. And it should be imminent there because I submitted it, I think, yesterday evening. So it shouldn't be too long before it's live in the App Store. But Google Play Store, it's all live. So I'm happy to get rid of Excel.
Cool.
And
congrats.
Yeah, that's the good part. The bad part is I meant to work on the follow-up of those emails, like you suggested. My intention is to get there, but there was a lot of exciting things that happened this last week or two, Brian, and I just didn't get to that.
Like what?
But yeah. Well, it turns out that I am starting a new project.
Ooh.
And I'm not doing this new project alone. Yeah, I mean, we know you're doing the whole CRM thing, right? You've told people all about it. But now, and it's, you know, it's quite coincidental because, you know, we started off this podcast. Both of us were in the freelancing product business and we kind of said like, hey, let's collaborate. And that led to the podcast. And we seem to have come full circle because guess what, Brian? I'm also building a CRM.
What? We're competing now? Is that what you're saying?
Well, there's the ringer, I think. We are not competing.
Ooh. So
now the listeners are like, what's going on?
Yeah, and like I said, it's been, a long 2 weeks. A lot's happened. It feels like a long time ago. And I'm trying to remember exactly how this conversation happened. It kind of naturally evolved. If I remember right, now correct me if I'm wrong here, but I had mentioned some of the things I was doing to validate, and that piqued your curiosity, validate the CRM idea, piqued your curiosity. Mm-hmm. So I think I sent you the list of research that I had done, and you started looking in and pitching some other things to think about. And me just coming off of this breakup of mine and being generally clueless, I wasn't cluing into the fact that you were actually suggesting that maybe we could work together on this. In fact, I think you, at one point you had to actually say, in case it's not obvious.
I had to spell it out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. Which honestly, my initial reaction was, you know, since we believe in transparency and telling it like it is, my initial reaction was, man, I really like Malcolm, but I don't know, man. I don't want to ruin that friendship because it's been really rough. I'm still frustrated with my previous one and started out as friends, ended up as really just really not wanting to talk to him again. because I felt burned so bad. And so I didn't want that to happen. But there are a lot of things that are different, I think, about the way that we're thinking about approaching it, and just personalities and goals and approaches and everything. So we started thinking about it. I think it's like, it feels like high school dating in a way. It's weird, you know, like it's like you start out flirting a little bit and then you start talking more seriously, but you're still cautious. You're not sure, you know, neither of you wants to get, lose a friend or get hurt or anything. And then, you know, it grows kind of organically. And so that's kind of, it doesn't sound like very long, but that's what's been going on over the past 2 weeks. Is that kind of how you remember it?
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, I can maybe fill in from my side. You know, when I first started looking seriously at this whole indie hacking thing and building a bootstrap business, we're talking about 2015, 2016 now. It was not with Remote Time. It was with a product called Holler Services, and it was like a marketplace services platform. But the key thing for me, what made me excited about it was targeting the small business market. I really believe that if you're going to be doing indie hacking, and especially if you don't have a lot of time, you need to go after a market that doesn't mind paying, that is not going to, you know, require a lot of, you know, audience building and that kind of thing. The small business market was really appealing to me, and that's why I was going after it. The mistake I made was the marketplace product was just, it was like three different apps. It was huge. And I spent 3 years in the cave, first mistake, building out a sort of MVP. And then I ran into some technical difficulties. And finally, I just got completely frustrated. I wasn't, you know, I'd started off doing the right thing. I spoke to someone, a business, and established the need before I started writing any code. But from there, it was just mistake after mistake. And I thought, well, this is super frustrating. It's a big product. Let me tackle something small. And there the logic was, well, let's scratch my own itch. I'm a freelancer. I need to invoice in the end of a month, and that's always a pain. Let's build something super simple to get that right. You know, target my hours and two or three taps, and I can generate an invoice. And I've done that. I think what I've since discovered in the last like 12 months is, well, okay, well, to sell this thing, it's kind of more B2C than it is B2B. You have to, mm-hmm. The marketing effort is almost equivalent to building the actual product in such a saturated market. And when you were saying, okay, well, and to be completely honest, in the back of my mind was like, if it doesn't work out for Brian, maybe he can pitch in with the website of Remote Time and we can kind of get some traction going there. But I don't know how to approach that because I've been building on it for a while now, and maybe that's a bit of an issue. So when you decided to go onto the CRM, that made me really excited because of the market of it. I'd actually also written a couple of kind of onboarding proof of concepts for some CRM apps. So it was something that I was kind of familiar with. So I thought, well, you know, if we're starting from scratch, and we have this from what I saw, like this really complementary technical skill set, and both of us are interested in, I guess, the soft side of business, maybe that could work out, because my criticism of a lot of products is they either go full web and mobile is kind of left behind and you go to the App Store reviews and you see all the complaints there, or you find this really, really good mobile app, but they have no presence on either the other store maybe, or absolutely no web implementation. And it seemed like we align a lot on concepts like transparency and simplicity. So I thought, well, you know, and I'm rambling on a bit, yeah, but just to go into all the reasons, I think we had an episode on co-founders. And I think I'm still fairly like, no, that's just, the risk is too much, you know, rather just try and hash it out. And all the examples that I've listened to, you know, the businesses failed because the relationships didn't work out. But, you know, after these last 12 months of trying to get traction, I just realized, as a part-time indie hacker, there is a very good case to be made for taking that risk purely because you need to get so much done. You know, building a business is not just building a product. It's a whole stack of other things. So the whole, you know, when it does work, it works. It like, it does, it's not just a times two. It's like a quadruple effort kind of thing where you just become so much more effective. You've got someone to like bounce ideas off of, and you know somebody else is working. So that's that little bit of extra motivation to, you know, fight past that tiredness and get some work done. So I thought, well, I know you've tried it quite a lot, Brian. I have not at all, and I really thrive on personal relationships. So I thought, well, I've met this guy. I think we've become good friends over the last couple months that we've been doing the podcast. So let's give it a shot and see what you think about it. And here we are.
Yeah, and I think that we're still both approaching it with a healthy dose of caution. Less so now than 2 weeks ago. In the beginning, it was like, I ended up the last episode basically saying, I feel like I'm missing something. And so that's where we started. What could we be missing? Is this really an opportunity? Are other people really not seeing this gap or what? So we spent a lot of time digging into this. What would this be? What would it look like as a business as opposed to a partnership first? And what we settled on is there may be solutions out there that we haven't found, but there is at least a discoverability marketing gap. And there's nothing obvious. If there were an obvious solution, many of these posts that we found would say, well, your solution is this, go use that. And we haven't found any of those. The risk also is that nobody's solving this because nobody wants to pay for it, or nobody thinks it's a big enough problem. But we think we found enough evidence through conversations online and posts here and there that people are looking for this specific thing, which is super simple, no training required, really intuitive, basic CRM. And then there's another angle on top of that, which is most CRMs target incoming leads, one and done. Mm-hmm. You get them, you sell them, and then maybe they become a repeat customer, but probably not. It's just like a way to nurture leads. But maintaining and improving existing customer relationships is what all the people were asking for that we found, or at least most of them. Yeah. And so that feels like the niche. And that's kind of what we settled on is we're not going to prevent anyone that wants to do lead nurturing, lead ingestion, all that sort of stuff, the full sales cycle. But really what we want to focus on is a simple solution for maintaining and improving existing relationships. So the R part of CRM, customer relationship manager. So that's kind of what we've been talking about and what we settled on. And I think, you know, we've not gone so far as to like form a corporation or anything like, you know, advanced like that, but we've talked about what the, like conceptually, what we agreed to. You want to kind of go over those?
Yeah. So I think there were a couple of things. So the first thing, and it would be kind of interesting because when you were going through this whole process with Greg, I was kind of spewing the advice of getting these things in writing. And then now all of a sudden that's now coming back to, we have this initial agreement. So I guess everything's subject to change. And I think we're both very active in communication. But so the conversation that we had around that was, we're going for a 50-50 split. That is the intent going in. We have a written agreement in Notion just so that we have something in writing that we both can look to and look back on and say, this is what we discussed. We are both very aware that nothing is a business until money is coming in. So there's kind of two steps to that. So obviously when you're building a product, you need some sort of legal entity that product represents. So that would be the first step, is when we feel like we're at that point, we create a corporation. And there was a discussion on, well, you've got a C Corp and I've got a C Corp. We could use yours, we could use mine. But that kind of, I think we're on the same wavelength there, that just brings extra tassels onto it. So maybe it's just a lot easier to start from clean. It's its own legal entity. And then we also said, well, it's only really a business when the first dollar comes in. So you can incorporate a C Corp, but you don't have to issue the shares immediately when you incorporate. You can do that later on. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, we would kind of enforce our initial agreement on the 50-50 and then have a discussion around. So when you issue shares, you can come up with things like there's a 12-month cliff, which means nobody gets any shares for the first 12 months. And you can come up with a vesting agreement to say, well, we vest over 3 years after that. We haven't bedded down actual figures, but that's kind of the conversation that we've had up until now. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that I'm missing that you recall?
Yeah, no, that's it. We had talked about maybe doing a tiebreaker type partnership where it's 51-49. That was the structure that I had with my old partnership that ended up actually biting me in the butt. And I didn't want to do that again because that started being swung around like a weapon. And I didn't want to get into that again, even though I trust, well, first of all, I tend to trust too much, which is often my downfall. So, you know, I go into this with a lot of trust and we all always have best intentions, but I'd rather not be the 51 or be the 49. I'd rather go 50-50. Now, the problem comes when there's a tiebreaker needed. And, you know, Aaron brought this up a couple of episodes ago, how they do it. Mm. I really like that approach where there's some sort of third party delegation, I guess, that will be the deciding vote. So we'll figure something out probably like that. But so that's the agreement in principle. Of course, none of that matters if we don't have a product that sells and makes money. So we kind of stopped there, got to good enough, and then started talking about, okay, what do we do next? I think since we're both engineers by training, if we have a blind spot, it's going to be marketing and sales.
Yes.
So that's one thing that we want to do right from the beginning, which is, I think that means starting with marketing from the beginning and not waiting till this thing's almost done. So we've got to think about that. We don't know what that looks like yet, but we've got some ideas started. And of course, we both want to start building. So I think it's important to scratch that itch a little bit to make it fun.
So we're
working on some of the marketing, the discovery issues and all that. Still chipping away at that, but we are also building the stuff that we're going to need no matter what, the core, you know, foundational stuff on both sides. And you've actually been working on wrapping up, getting remote time to a good place where you can kind of keep an eye on it, but focus mostly on this. I've been working on some of the other stuff. In fact, we got as far as getting a landing page up last night.
Woohoo!
Yay. So we're...
It's official now.
I guess technically we're launched. We launched something already. If you go to supersimplecrm.com, there's an email form. If you're curious, interested, think you might be able to use it, you can sign up today. No promises on what you'll get, but you will probably get an email from one of us. If you listen to this podcast, you'll know it'll be a scrappy email like, hey, thanks for signing up. Super interested in hearing what piqued your interest. And so we're looking forward to pushing people over to that somehow. We got to figure out how to do that, how to get eyeballs in front of them and get people to sign up, even though there's nothing there yet. So we're making good progress already. I mean, it's been 2 weeks and all that has happened. It's pretty exciting. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah,
and there, to your point, as far as like the accountability goes, it's already started working. There have already been a few nights where it's like, I don't feel like working tonight, but I'll bet you Malcolm is. So I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna sit down and do something. Or, oh, you've got that podcast coming up, and I'm sure nobody will sign up on the email form, but I at least want to be able to say we've launched something. So I put in some extra hours to get that done, you know, so it's working already. It's been good. It's been fun.
I had the easy part because I just messaged you on Skype and said, shouldn't we have like a one pager sign up right from the beginning?
And
then you went, well, yep. And I was like, okay, cool. Thanks for playing.
Well, no, that's what makes it good. Cause I wasn't like, I knew that in the back of my mind, but I wasn't really thinking about it. And I was going full blast on the full site, the full marketing site, even though there's no product yet, because I wanted to get that out there. In fact, if you go to the site now and you put the right query string variable, you'll be able to see that, but I'm not I'm going to keep that a secret for now. But the point is, you pointed out something that we should be doing that I wouldn't have done otherwise. And I'm sure it'll happen the other way around as well. And that was great.
Yeah, for sure.
And we were able to turn that around in a couple of days. And so that was first success.
Yeah, and I was also very keenly aware, and just to iterate what you were saying, is from the beginning to be talking to potential clients, and if you are, for them to go somewhere where they can say, okay, cool, I like what you're saying, I'm registering my interest. I think for me, the other part was also not to build in isolation. So my intention over the next couple of weeks and stuff is not just to, well, like you say, you got to have a little bit of fun. So I will be building out some infrastructure on all the cross-platform mobile apps and things like that. But also just doing a lot more in-depth dive on existing products. And that's where the app stores are really helpful, because you can just go to the different apps that all the CRMs have and go look at the negative feedback, the positive feedback. What do people really like? What do they don't like? And that's my marketing research comfort zone, is I love doing that kind of thing. And, I'm kind of thinking on the fly of, taking a few products that are kind of doing some things that we intend on doing, and doing some just video recordings that we can have and look back on and kind of have a conversation around, we like that and we don't like that, and, kind of shaping where we want to go. And that's how I'd like to see us shaping the product. And then the uncomfortable marketing part is to continue doing what you started doing, was talk to actual people right from the beginning. And then I will also say out loud that my imposter syndrome also kicks in, because I love getting involved in not just the mobile app part, but just I feel like I want to be effective in the server side part as well. And I have not done Ruby before. It's always been something that's of interest for me. Ruby on Rails looks like the rapid building of actual production ready apps just was always appealing. So my intention is always also to ramp up there, but with the in the back of my mind is like, I'm going to be learning, but I'm not going to have any output. So I'm not, the temptation is I want to build stuff and have something to show, but on the other side is this fighting thing was, well, I've got to learn and get up to scratch, in the wee hours of the morning. So somewhere that's got to happen in between, that's my intent, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've figured out a good way to do that. So we've got a shared repo where I'm, even though right now I'm the only one pushing code on the web part of it and the API part, I'm still submitting pull requests and tagging you in them and kind of walking through.
It's been really helpful.
What I did, why, how you might test this if you had the time to or wanted to, rationale behind certain decisions. So it may not all make sense yet, but the other part is I've taken care of authentication and all the kind of boilerplate stuff. We're on the latest version of Rails, which has all kinds of great improvements, which have been really nice to work with. So, for example, and I love JavaScript, don't get me wrong, but it can also be
that makes one of us
hard. It can be a pain to coordinate between front end and back end in a really complex app. And Rails just basically says, put it all on the back end. We'll obfuscate or not obfuscate. We'll add a layer of abstraction between the JavaScript and make it look like it's more JavaScript than it really is. So there's a lot of Ajax-y type stuff, async type stuff that's happening that you don't have to write a line of JavaScript for. Which is really cool if you do it right. So I've kind of got all that stuff started. And now that that boilerplate stuff is there, if you want to add an API, you know where to look to add one. There's a couple of examples there. So that makes that a little easier. And I'm hoping to do the same on the mobile side. I haven't written anything in Xamarin before. I've done a lot of native stuff, but I would be in the same boat. So we're both kind of learning from each other. And I think the one thing we're going to have to really keep each other honest on is, are we putting enough time into marketing?
For sure.
And validation and all that, and customer discovery and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's kind of, there's going in with eyes wide open. The other risk is that it is a pretty big saturated market already. Like CRM, Google CRM, and I mean, it's crazy. So are we crazy doing this? Should we niche down more?
A couple of the
more?
Top hits are like top 48 CRMs for small businesses. And I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So how do we stand out in that group? Is something we're going to have to figure out. We talked about maybe niching down further. What are your thoughts on that right now?
Yeah, I'm hesitant to make that decision in isolation. If anything is taught, if I've learned anything over the last couple of months, is let your customers do the talking, and preferably with money. So I think it doesn't matter what kind of CRM you're building, you need the bare basics. And for me, the differentiation in the market, yes, it's very saturated and there's lots of products out there, but I feel really strongly, and I think you do too, is the user experience that is paired with simplicity. That in and of itself is a unique thing. Mm-hmm. And I do think the culture that we want to build around the company, the story brand, will be different. It's not the Silicon Valley hustle culture thing. We live our brand as indie dads, and that'll come through in our products and the way we talk to customers. And I feel that's also a differentiating factor it's more and more people are not buying products because it's got feature one or feature two or feature three. They buy into your story. They believe in what you're doing. They want to know that they're working with people they trust. And that's what I really like about the CRM, is it's all about trust. It's all about relationships. And, I identify a lot with that kind of product. I feel fairly confident that once we get stuck into it and we talk to actual customers or potential customers and they tell us what we want and what we don't want, I think if there is a market niche or an industry niche, they will tell us. I think going in, we're both like the simplicity and the ease of use, that there's enough of a niche there to make that the current focus.
Yeah. And as a side note, we should be able to dog food our own product pretty well because it's going to be probably pretty high touch at first. So we'll need a CRM to stay on top of that. But, they say that it's harder to niche down than it is to niche up or to expand. So once you started and you have a few different customers in drastically different areas, like if you have lawyers and you have car mechanics, both using the CRM, it's hard to kind of go with one over the other, niche down. But at the same time, I agree with you in that I think that the simplicity aspect of it is a niche. Because there are all these CRMs out there with the kitchen sink built in, HubSpot, Salesforce, all these other big ones. And then there are also others like Pipedrive, which is a good CRM for sales funnels, but not necessarily for customer relationships. So I think that we are already niched down. As long as we keep that focus and as long as we can do that well, I think we're actually already there. We could, I guess, niche down further, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know that it's necessary yet.
Yeah, and what I like about that is it should be famous words, fairly simple to get something with the bare minimum functionality out, however long that takes. Because we're doing this after hours, but the total effort shouldn't be like this massive enterprise system to get a really small business, say if you're starting from a 3 to 5 person business and they just want to keep track of who their customers are, or when last they talk to them, with some reminders or whatever that simple thing is. We'll very quickly know if one people or five people are willing to pay for this, then that can scale. But if we keep on hitting our heads on, okay, we've got the MVP, but no one's willing to pay for it, and we've really done our part in terms of high-touch sales and talking to them and making it easy to onboard, then that'll tell us something already fairly early. So that's the beauty of building something simple. You'll get real early feedback on and validation on what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, and the conventional wisdom is go to the people you've talked to and ask for money up front. If they want it bad enough, they'll pay you. we've run into a little bit of a roadblock there in that the people that we're talking to, the people that are doing the research, aren't the same ones with the credit cards. And so we've got to get a little bit further along to where they can show their boss, hey, this is what's being built. Maybe it's the landing page. Maybe we've gotten to that point yet. Maybe it's convincing enough. I think we probably need a concrete date, because right now it just says launching soon, and like that could be next year. So why would anyone put money down now? But if it were like in 60 days or something and they could wait that long, that might be a different story. So we'd have to figure that out. But that's why that is a little bit of a roadblock. We need to arm the people that are doing the research with enough information to get their bosses on board. And then maybe we could talk to their bosses. They're kind of acting as gatekeepers with their, they don't want to let us talk to their bosses quite yet, 'cause they don't want to look bad. You know, I understand. Yeah. So we got to get past that and we'll figure that out.
Yeah. So on that, I mean, we kind of started, just kind of, is there a market for this and what are people looking for? So what the two of us have done is we've got a shared Notion document, and we're kind of refining, you know, as well as documenting our agreements and things like that, and SaaS tools that we find. It's all centrally located there. But one of the nice things is the more we talk to customers, the, oh, wait, we can ask this other question, and this will give us information on what have you used before? What are you currently using? How much is that costing? How much time are you spending on it? So I think we'll get better at that as we go. To where we're getting good enough information to know this is how much people are paying, this is the frustrations, and we can say with a fair amount of confidence whether the thing that we're building is going to solve that. So I hear what you're saying with, you know, put a credit card down. I think there's a couple of ways to skin that cat.
Yeah. Yeah, and like speaking of the things that we've been asking, we could go over the trends we've seen so far. We've kind of alluded to some of them, but looking at that same Notion doc, we've got, you know, people generally are explicitly looking for something simple. Simple is often in the name, or maybe small business CRM comes up, but that's a little bit less targeted. So it's the way that people go about trying to find this is typically, from what we've seen so far, searching Google, finding the big players, the HubSpots and the Salesforces, trying those because they all try them. It looks like from what we've seen and heard, they all at least sign up for a trial and then just get overwhelmed and give up. And then the next step is they go and they ask their peers, their coworkers, or their communities online. And so we need to, SEO is going to be the long game. It's going to take a while, but we obviously need to get involved in that because that's what people are doing. They're searching. We'll have to figure out how well that'll scale and how well we can actually reach people with that in a very crowded market. But we've got to get probably in these communities as well, these small business type communities. And like I mentioned before, the people that are researching are often not the person that would pay. It's more like it's given as an assignment from their boss. Hey, can you go see if you can find something to make this easier, to share contact details, to get reminders about when to reach out to someone, things like that. They tend to be 3 to 5 people teams, which isn't very big. So if we're going to target that market, there's not a ton of expansion revenue, but maybe if we can generalize it enough, it could grow a little bit more. Maybe it could support a 10 person team or something along those lines. And then, the expectation, the budget that they had when they were looking was for around $10, $15, $20 a month, which isn't much. And that means we've got to go for volume. But I guess the good news there is that there are a lot of businesses that size. You know, so there's a big market to go after.
So we did have a bit of a discussion around pricing. You would just, for the sake of our listeners, do you want to go through that? Because I think there's an opportunity there as well, right?
You're referring to like how many free users versus paid users and that sort of approach?
Yeah, look, what I'm seeing, and I had a discussion around this, was the pricing, and this is a general SaaS pandemic, is fairly complicated. And if you think about your sales funnel and your pricing page is actually kind of like, that's the decision point. Do I do this or not? And all your content and everything at the end of the day, it gets people to your pricing page. And the mistake that, and it's funny how common this is, the pricing just is like, well, I get so much gigs of data or storage. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to a customer. Like, how do they know how much storage they're going to be using? Or $10 per user per month. I said, well, my team is 3 this month and it's 5 next month. You know, how am I going to manage that? You know, you ask questions like that. So I think one of the things we said was we need to come up with, in conjunction with a super simple product, our pricing needs to be really simple. It needs to scale because we need to make money at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But there really shouldn't be any questions when you're looking at, and we take inspiration from the base camps of the world and the what used to be high-rise pricing, where it's very, very simple to understand. There's not a lot of jargon that is technical limitations and that kind of thing. So I think that in and of itself is an opportunity, just looking at thinking about pricing in a really simple way.
Yeah. So the standard way of doing it is or seems to be per user, $10 per user per month, but maybe we look at the way Basecamp is doing it, where it's like $50 for as many as you need. Now the risk there is they can afford to do that because they've got the architecture and they've already reached economies of scale. Maybe that would break us if we had a company that needed something simple and had 100 employees or 1,000 going, oh, cool, $50. Yeah, let's do it. But that may also be a super edge case that never happens too. So we'll have to look at that and see. And the other thing we were thinking about is, and I don't think we have the answer to this yet, do we go freemium-ish of some kind or unlimited trial for a certain number of users, or do we go with a timed trial? Mm-hmm. And I guess my current thinking on that is the value in a CRM, of course, is storing information, but it's also collaborating with other people at your company. So maybe we offer it free for 2 or fewer people. So if you want to use it as a personal CRM, it's not going to cost us much in terms of like resources. So maybe we let people do that. But ideally, they share it with another employee as they test drive it. And that's all they need to know if it'll work collaboration-wise. And then they can sign up the other 5 or 6 people on the team. And if they need a week to do that, fine. If they need 3 months, fine. It's not going to really cost us more in terms of like how much storage these things are going to take. If it's a simple CRM, it's not going to have millions of records per user. So that's kind of what we're thinking right now.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about zero barrier to entry. So there really shouldn't be for someone to experience the value proposition of your product. They shouldn't have to put in things like a credit card or sign up for a 7-day trial, and people get busy and life is busy. So there should be some sort of experience of your product without any barriers. They should just be able to say, sign up and start using it. And all the onboarding and all the help that they need should be automated. So they shouldn't have to get on a call with someone to say, well, okay, how do I maintain my customers and make reminders. You know, everything that's there for that experience, the communicating the value proposition should be really, really easy. I like the way that HighRise isn't it's active for existing customers, but they've stopped signups. But their pricing structure when they were going was pretty nice. I'm not sure about the free part, but their basic plus and premium was kind of like up to 6 users, up to 20 users. And then if you go more than 50, it's kind of like, well, let's have a talk if it's like enterprise level. But you didn't really have to do a lot of math because either your company is less than 50 or it's more than 50 or less than 10. You know, those are big enough numbers that you can kind of segment them into those buckets.
Maybe that's
way to kind of like what I'm leaning towards in terms of keeping it simple.
Yeah. And that could be the way to address the concern I mentioned before, where you get some big company that stumbles upon your product, wants to use it. Maybe there's an upper cap that's like never going to be met by most customers, but in case it is, you're good. And and then related to your comment a minute ago about whether you require a credit card up front or all, you know, what you require for them to even try it out. I think it depends on what you're optimizing for. So if you're optimizing for the top of the tunnel, the funnel, more people trying it, then you don't require a credit card up front. If you want to optimize for conversion, like conversion rate after they sign up, then you do require a credit card up front. But we want to optimize for experience because our thesis is that that will lead to higher conversion rate, loyalty, and everything else. And so that's why, you know, right now our approach is going to be no barrier or as few barriers as possible to see, because we think, like everybody thinks this, but we think that we can build it in such a way that
everything we say is subject to change, people.
I mean, every person that's building a startup ever always thought if people just try it, they'll love it. But we're going to focus so obsessively on good, intuitive user experience that we think that will be the way to go. So we'll see. We might change, but that's what this is all about.
Yep.
Cool.
So when we look forward to, so I think that has some implications on the podcast. Do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I think that the podcast is going to become a little more tactical, a little bit more, well, inside baseball in a way. Like, yeah, there's going to be more conversations between us about us as opposed to tell me about your company and I'll tell you about mine. So there's an opportunity to basically turn our conversations into more content for people that are interested, more podcast episodes if people are interested in following more frequently. Maybe we have a once a week meeting that's a little bit more casual, maybe a little bit less curated than it's been in the past, where we just talk about what we plan to do for the week and why, what our current thinking is, and then just publish that. I know for me, like that's what I've enjoyed the most with podcasts that I listen to. Art of Product is one where they still try to keep it practical. But like I remember, they're 200 episodes in. They just hit 200. But I still remember the days when they were just barely starting out. And those were the really fun episodes to listen to. So that's kind of where I'm excited to share some of what, not, you know, who knows, we might fail in a giant, fiery, miserable crash, but at least maybe people can learn from that, or we might succeed and that'll be fun to follow along with.
Yeah. So, I mean, the caveat there is that we're now both working part-time on this. So to have an hour or 2 hours of effort spent every week, we'll see how that goes. Maybe, you know, we might end up tweaking that. But yeah, that's the intention to, like, we decided Monday is a good day to get together and let's just chat about where we've been. I mean, look, we talk constantly via Skype and things like that. But I think the face-to-face conversation is that extra level of intimacy, for lack of a better word. So we'll just be pressing the record on that conversation and publishing them as episodes.
It'll be a little bit more raw. I usually spend currently, in addition to the hour-ish that we spend recording, I spend 2 or 3 hours editing, removing all the ums and the awkward silences, mostly from me. and we're just going to probably move to a more raw format where you might get, I just did one, you might get more of them, but that's okay. I think it'll be more interesting that way.
Yeah. So we have to optimize for actually shipping a product. So and I think it's going to be fun. Just getting the raw details without any skin. I think that's part of our brand. So yeah, let's see how that goes. So when we look forward to, hopefully it's a week when we have a conversation again. So what's on your radar for this week, Brian?
Well, just launched the landing page. We've got authentication in place for the full site. So all of the kind of structural stuff is there for the marketing side and the login and sign up side. But what we don't have is the app itself. So I want to do a kind of a scaffold of what the app UI would look like as far as navigation and content and all, and the header and footer and all that basic stuff goes. And then I'm going to call myself out and spend some time marketing. And by that, I mean, thinking about what kind of content approach we can take. I think we want to get that started sooner than later because it takes so long to bake. Figure out how we're going to publish posts, articles, SEO type stuff, pitch some ideas, brainstorm on that. It may only go so far as a Notion doc with some topics, but at least we're starting. And that's kind of what I think I'll be able to get done. How about you?
That's important, but yeah, so I don't know how long it's going to be because today is Wednesday already and we said we were going to do it on Mondays. So, you know, this next bit might be a little bit out of sync. But my first thing is I want to try and get the Rails environment up and running. And being a cross-platform developer, that means I've got a Windows machine, I've got a Mac machine, and when I'm at my desk, it's Windows because I'm just super productive with all of the monitors around me. I feel like I'm in an airplane when I'm in my office. But when I'm mobile, it's my M1 MacBook Air, which, you know, I never used to be an Apple fan, but it's an amazing machine. And I'm hoping to get that dual booted with Parallels and Windows ARM and all the goodness. So somewhere along the line between one of those two machines, I've got to get a Rails environment up and running and be able to call the API. And once I have that up and running, probably look at I'm really tempted to just dive in the code and get the infrastructure up and running for the mobile app, but I know I can do that fairly quickly and easily. There aren't any unknowns there. So I guess my strategy is to tackle unknowns a little bit first. So in between So the technical part I want to do is get the environment up and running. The marketing part I want to do is do a couple deep dives into one or two of the products that I've identified. Maybe record while I'm going through the onboarding process and just kind of like thinking out loud into what I like about it, what I don't like. And that way I can make that available to you and we can kind of talk around what are the value propositions we see in a more detail perspective. What do we like about certain implementations? What don't we like? And we can, when we get to customer interviews, we can kind of carry that information into those sessions and ask more targeted questions, I guess. But yeah, that's kind of where my head's at.
Cool. All right. And I guess I need to be careful about getting too far with the app skeleton because that will need to, we probably want to match somewhat between mobile and web.
Yeah.
So that there's some consistency there. So, well, one other thing that, posting more frequently means is that we're going to need more dad jokes.
Also true.
How's your dad joke, repertoire? You got a few in your back pocket?
Yeah, I do. I think I've been keeping a document aside every time I run into one. It's like, that should be good. So I think that is not going to be a short supply, but
all right.
But, all right. I think we should be good.
Okay. Well, you know, I've been at my day job now for coming up on 3 weeks, and it's fully remote. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all my office. There's nowhere to go. The whole company's remote, which is really nice. But I have to say that one of the things that I really miss about being in an office is the whiteboard. You know, just having a whiteboard there that you can turn around on and have a conversation with someone and kind of diagram things. Over the past, I'd say, 100 years, I'd have to say that the dry erase board is the most remarkable invention.
To think about that one a little bit. But yes, hold on.
Very remarkable, yeah.
Well, mine's a little bit of a trivia evening. Just a did you know that, Lance is a pretty uncommon name these days. But in medieval times, people were called Lancelot.
There probably were people. I was going to ask if it was just that one guy or a lot of people, but I think you're right. They probably named others after
him. He was super popular. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently good with the ladies.
Yeah. That's what I see. What I hear. All right. Well, good action packed episode. And if all goes well, I guess we'll see everyone next week too.
Yeah. Thanks, Brian. This was good.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Bye.
Cheers. If you enjoyed this episode and you want an easy way to support us, we'd love it if you reviewed this podcast on whichever platform you're using to tune in. If you'd like to ask a question, you can send us an email to hello@indiedads.com or message us directly on Twitter. You can also find us at indiedads.com, where you can see show notes, links to our Twitter profiles, and product websites. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.